be before all of you today.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming in. And actually, it was really strong that I had the initial request to meet with somebody who represented the state.
Yes,
and the concern for a chilling effect. Yeah, whether this bill might have a chilling effect on veterans who can care.
We talked.
I'm
Brenda Cookshank. I represent the Veterans of Foreign Wars and speaking regarding PTSD and similar issues for veterans. And I want to start off with the definition of PTSD. We associate that with veterans, but we forget that PTSD is also applied to people who've had traumatic car accidents or any traumatic accident, traumatic event in with their life. It's a very broad category, so it's just not related to a veteran. So when you talk PTSD, people have a tendency to forget that, and we need, under this law, to take that into consideration. The other thing about PTSD, it's not just related to military within combat situations. Think of all the immigrants that we have in the state of Vermont that come from a combat zone. The Bosnians, the Somalis, my mother. She lived through the Battle of Britain and was bombed in her house twice. She's driving down the road and a thunderstorm happens. She pulls off the road and she pulls a rug over the top of her head so she cannot see the light, the thunder and the lightning, because that's the bombing to her. Her and her girlfriend look kind of silly sitting there under their little blankets on the side of the road sometimes. But there are a lot of people in this state that are affected by PTSD, is what I'm saying. And how is that treated? Have they ever been treated for it? No, because they're of the generation that you just sort of sucked it up and moved on, because they all had it. All of my relatives growing up as a child had PTSD from living through World War II. I grew up in England, so all my family was exposed to, the older generation was exposed to the war. Now, how do we talk about it in related to the military sense? If you're active duty military, court order is not necessarily what can happen to you if you have an episode of psychiatric illness that needs treatment or presumed treatment. You can be ordered to receive treatment as an inpatient. Is that being committed? Not necessarily in the medical sense, but your commanding officer has ordered that you be admitted to be evaluated for treatment. That needs to be considered. Is that record then released to the public? Not necessarily, and sometimes it should be because it was a founded case. VA reporting doesn't report to the state on their high-risk patients. They don't commit, but they do strongly encourage people to be admitted in the VA system for psychiatric evaluation and treatment. So how does it all get reported into the system? And at what level in the VA you're rated as a percentage of disability for your PTSD? So at what level of percentage is qualifying you for disowning a gun? You'd be 50% disabled for PTSD and be totally ineffectual or not withstanding, or you could be 80% disabled for your PTSD but be highly functioning. So how do you quantify that if a veteran goes to court and says, I'm 50% PTSD or I'm 80% PTSD?
So are you asking in terms of how, my understanding, Eric, that this bill would not address that if there hasn't been an adjudication.
Right, and that's the issue, is coming from the military and from the VA, there's a huge population of people that probably should have been adjudicated, but aren't.
So are you saying that this building can go far enough?
But how far do you want to go, is what I'm asking. Because not all PTSD is created equal. And we need to consider that.
I guess what we're trying to tease out too, Brenda, is in a situation where whatever the soldier has endured and whatever generation might need help and wants help. On Friday, we're having a resolution about PTSD awareness and suicide. We're worried about the soldier who needs help and should be getting it, but thinks, well, my guns will be maybe confiscated if I am in the system, or they might not understand the law even. And yet they're like, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take that step now. I'm going to wait through hunting season. You know, different people think differently.
But you can apply that situation to a non-veteran too.
Exactly.
People who seek, not necessarily just VA treatment, seek care in the civilian setting. Does every physician report somebody that's suicidal? No. Right, and that's the issue. It doesn't all get adjudicated going out there. And that's the issue with PTSD and all of this. What I'm saying is if it comes out of the federal system, it's not adjudicated. So if somebody is discharged from the military on the psychiatric grounds, is that a form of adjudication?
So
not necessarily.
So again, if I understand your testimony, that perhaps the bill doesn't go far enough.
It doesn't.
Is that what you're saying? I just want to make sure I understand your, because it doesn't encompass the universe that the veterans that you may be referring to. I really want to understand that.
I fully believe that if you encompass veterans under one hat, then you've isolated that person. Where a civilian who's gone through the same type of experience is left out. I think it has to be treated equally. Because we have a population of civilians in this state that have gone through combat, not in the military. So it's a catch-22 there as to where you go with it, as to how do you treat it and how do you band-aid it. Like I said, somebody getting a discharge from the military, a lot of times they're given a bad conduct discharge for psychiatric reasons. Is that a form of adjudication? And then they're just turned loose on the street.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems that under what's being proposed in the bill in front of us, that everyone is being treated the same, because completely regardless of your history, whether you're a vet or not, whether you have PTSD or not, no matter what the situation is, if you need to have been adjudicated to be a person in need of care, as that's defined
mm-hmm.
and in order to be reported to the National Background Check System. And so, whatever causes someone to be adjudicated to be that person in need of care really doesn't matter what their history is.
Right.
And so, as I understand it, this does treat everyone the same and says that Vermont will report those people to the National Background Check System if they fall into that category.
Right.
So, I guess I'm struggling a little bit to understand what the testimony is that we're differentiating.
My question was to you, part of it was, if somebody is coming out of the military off active duty and they're being discharged for psychiatric reasons, or they were adjudicated under the UCMJ, that's not reported to the state. That only stays within the military record. And it's reflected on their DD-214 at the time.
And is that reported to the, are they, under that situation reported to the National Background Check System. So then, unless something occurred subsequent to that in Vermont, in which they were, you know, adjudicated, they would not be reported.
That's right. And that's why I think, you know, you're looking at PTSD, and you're not, I don't think the bill is going to capture everybody that should have been on, should have been adjudicated. You, because the federal, the way the feds report, they don't report to the state. You report to, the state reports to the federal. So people that are adjudicated under federal law, as in the military's case, isn't going to get reported to the state level. I'm not saying there's a lot of people running around out there in the military that came out like that, but okay. There's always going to be one or two. Do you understand what I'm...
I think I do.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets very convoluted in the military.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Anybody?
Is that going to be it then?
Yeah.
You're going to do something else?
Huh? No, we're going to this.